All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, and you hear that music. And for the 300th time, believe it or not, it is the beginning of another edition of SailSportTalk.com, the 940 Tuesdays, and as always, co-hosting the segment with me is Karen Lyle. Karen, 300, just like the Spartans, huh?
Right. You know, I remember the very first time that you and I did something together. It was a music and sports spotlight, I think, featuring Bernie Williams' music. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And you were looking at me like, what is she doing here?
No, I hope I wasn't that bad.
Well, you were. But we got to know each other, and now we're having so much fun every week on SailSport Talk.
So, I know you wanted to take a look back at some of your favorites. What were you thinking?
Well, I also want to hear about your favorites, because, of course, for me, I'm living the life. So I'm you know, thinking about the places that I've been and what I've seen and the people that I've met with, you know, some of the highlights of that. If we look at, you know, the year, go from the Vendée Globe in Paris and meeting the 40 different sailors who are now sailing still in their circumnavigation race solo around the world, and the Barcelona America's Cup, especially with the first women's America's Cup ever right in the middle of the traditional America's Cup that was being done, and then the HMS Dragon, which was the air defense vessel that's now deployed out to sea, you know, for the Royal Navy. Those are a few. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I did like following the Vendée, because I think is, you know, it's sort of like at the Tour de France. I'm not really into bike racing, but I admire them, what these people were able to do on bicycles each and every day. I couldn't even do one stage, and they're doing all of them. So for me, just to think about going on a boat by myself to the Farallons would be fraught with peril, much less going around the entire world by yourself, which is cool. But I always like speaking with Robin, what is it, Knox Johnston? What's his name?
Yes, Sir Robin Knox Johnson, founder of the Clipper Race, who also circumnavigated in 1969 for the Whitbread Race.
It's always cool to talk to a knight of the realm and someone who got suited and booted and went to Westminster Abbey and got knighted by the Queen. And he also was just a guy who told it like it is, and I always liked hearing from an experienced guy like that.
Well, you remember during the pandemic, that was actually the time where we got to know Robin, and it was because during the pandemic, everything was locked down, and so his staff for the Clipper Race, who I had been interfacing with for SailSport Talk, were basically all on furlough. So I got to talk to the man himself, and of course we had a lot of common connections through the yachting community. But one of the things that he was really concerned about when he was during the pandemic that we kind of helped with, we actually helped a bit with what was happening in London, England at the time, is that the merchant marines were stuck on their ships and couldn't get off the ships during the pandemic because of all the lockdowns. And so we did an episode to basically highlight that cause, because that was something of great concern to him, having been in the merchant marines himself.
I this isn't recency bias, but the clip that Pip Hare had that we played when you heard how distraught she was, and you know, she sounded so fragile with her high voice and her English accent. She's anything but. She's an absolute bulldog out there. I thought that was very poignant and very moving.
Yeah, and I felt it especially too, because I've met her and I've hugged her. You know, we've talked in person, and so, you know, and I also know a little bit, and I can't say that I have the comprehension that these circumnavigators have, because I'm a pleasure sailor. I mean, I don't go into these extreme situations for long periods of time, but I have I have knowledge of what it's like to have, you know, something break on your boat when you're under full sail, because I've sailed in San Francisco Bay. And several years ago, I was sailing my boat, which was just at the time that was a 32-foot Hunter Vision freestanding rig, and the boom broke when the sail, when we were, I think we had a 35-knot gust that came around Angel Island while we were sailing by Alcatraz, and it just bust the boom, and when that happened, the sail just started flopping around and hitting all parts of the boat. And actually, it could have knocked any one of us off, but you know, there were three of us on board, and we were all experienced sailors, and we were able to get the sail, to drop the sail, and lash it to the, you know, lash the boom to the boat. And she had to do whatever she had to do with that flopping sail and a broken mast, you know, herself. And so I just, you know, I think about how hard it was. You know, I was taking the helm while these, the other two experienced captains on my boat were taking care of the situation. You know, and it was, and she had to do this solo, which is kind of incomprehensible to me as to how scary, skilled, you know, just all the words that come to mind, you know, for that situation.
Speaking with Karen Lyle, SailSportTalk.com. One of the other things I got to do during our 300 episodes is with your compatriot there, Patty Mangan, was to attend the SailGP when it was in San Francisco and go to the press area and sit in the I guess the better lack of a term, press box. And just to experience, I love sports. I love competition. I've always loved competition in anything, even on a chessboard. And so to see everybody going at it was an education for me.
Well, and I'm thinking that you've had so many different experiences sitting, you know, with different types of sports that you cover in your show, Titillating Sports, that we put in the middle of, that we put Sail Sport Talk in the middle of. What was it like for you seeing how the sailing was represented on the big screens, where they have the field kind of drawn out and the boats have their little flags on them and things? Did that really help you understand the race?
Yeah, because otherwise you just see somebody coming across the finish line and they might be in eighth place. So the way the screens were set up, the way it was televised, did a very good job about, okay, and it might be patronizing to sailing veterans like yourself, but it's like, here's what we're doing. They have to go to this buoy. They have to come around. They got to go back, and then they got to come. And to me, the thrilling thing was, and this was interesting, and even Patty, you could tell she got a thrill too, as experienced as she is, because the one that was leading, I think it was the Australians, but, and I also know that you can have people from different countries on the boats as well, but the one that was leading all of a sudden completely stopped dead in the water. There was just no wind. It just stopped. And luckily they were able to get some wind and go again. But I didn't even think that was something that could even occur, that other boats are going fast and one of them just stops. And just because you're in a little pocket where there was no wind. So I thought that was kind of a little thrill.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's almost like a game of, it's a game of skill and chance. The chance, right, part of it, you know, kind of like when you roll the dice, you can have a lot of skill in how to roll the dice, but how it's going to come out, you just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think about the time, the memorable, like you've brought a lot of people to the studio, a lot of young sailors, but the gentleman, you'll have to remind me of his name, who was blind, and it's unbelievable to me that somebody can sail whilst blind.
Oh, right. You know, we need to check back in with him and bring him back to the show. I need to see, because I kind of lost, you know, when all the pandemic happened and so forth, Walter, you know, I haven't touched bases with him. And I do like to come back to stories. So let me reach out to him and see if we can bring him back in 2025.
Yeah, see what he's doing. For you, because I know in the sports world when I have a really good get, like, you know, when Gale Sayers sits down with me, it's like no one gets to interview him, you know, it's like, wow, this is huge. So for you, who was someone that you got on the show where you're like, wow, that's a good get?
You know, I think something that really moved me emotionally was when I was interviewing Jimmy Spittle at the end of the America's Cup race, where he lost, the Italian team lost to the Louis Vuitton final. So they were not going to be in the last match race of the America's Cup. And if you recall, Jimmy Spittle was the captain for the Oracle team, the American team in San Francisco in 2013. And that was when I first met him. It was before we did, you know, we didn't start Salesport Talk until 2019. But I met him, you know, back in the day when the America's Cup was happening. There was some, I don't remember whether the event was, it might have been the Commonwealth Club, or some event where they were where he was speaking. And I just had an opportunity, you know, and I was just sitting there. Here I was in Barcelona as accredited media for the America's Cup. And he's saying, this is the last America's Cup that I'm going to be doing, because he was retiring from the America's Cup. It doesn't mean he's retired from sailing, because he's now doing something for CLGP. But, you know, I just, you know, he had just the loss, the emotion, the admiration he had for Ben Ainslie, his buddy and competitor, and you know, all of that emotion was just so there. And I was sitting there thinking, yeah, look at where I have come, where I started from not being, I wasn't a sailor in 2013. I was a power boater. I had never been on a sailboat before. And here I am, you know, at, you know, a sailor having traveled all around the world and interviewing him and sharing this moment, you know, of history. You know, that was probably the most, it's kind of, every one of these people is very special for me because they're so passionate about what they do. So it's not like I mark things and say, oh, you know, this person is so much more important than that. It's, you know, everyone is a gem. But, you know, that was a moment where my history and his history were all kind of intertwined.
Very cool. You know, I also remember having Nick Nurse on the show for a full hour as well. That was through you as well. We're out of time, though. We'll just have to go to 301 episodes of SailSportTalk.com. Check it out. And Karen, Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners, all 100 million of them in 168 countries, wherever they may be, even on ships and inside and outside and wherever they are in the world. Happy New Year.
There it is. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.